Hello, my name is Dwight Bowen. I'm president of Dwight Bowen & Associates. We specialize in Kaizen and continuous improvement. Welcome to another competing podcast.
Sponsored by Creative Slice, a green design firm specializing in smart website design for good.
Part two of my interview with John Shook, focusing on issues with management, command and control, and lean, issues with culture in North America. Please listen.
You know, it relates to another thing, I think, about how we try to manage. We do have a lot of smart people in management in this country, but sometimes they're so smart they think they can't figure things out and determine direction from afar. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, though, we have there's a general acceptance, almost like a fad, of stating that command and control is bad. And yes, command and control is the root of a lot of evils. But what is offered up as an alternative? So if you're a senior manager and you buy the idea that command and control doesn't work, you can read any number of books about it or attend a management seminar, and that's what's discussed, and everyone agrees. But there's no easy alternative. Command and control is bad because you can't have one person telling 100,000 people what to do when. Okay, that makes sense. But it's equally true that you can't have 100,000 people doing what they want when. So if senior managers don't see an alternative to command and control other than just blind trust, then they're not going to be very successful. So this becomes an important impediment, if you will, to trying to implement or achieve lean transformation in North America. And it relates also to a lot of our beliefs in systems and senior management, or even middle management as well, actions around measurement. The way we measure, the things we measure, continue to have us chasing our tails. Mm-hmm. You know, and importantly, focusing management time and attention on the wrong things. And I really mean measurement at all levels. At the corporate level, we have this continuing overemphasis on quarterly returns. And at the working level, there tends to be a focus on narrow measures that lead to this local optimization that can horribly harm system optimization. Yeah. And system optimization and the overall system efficiency and integration is probably the key to Toyota having the ongoing success that it's had for so many years. And then when we get to the individual level, we still seem to pretend that money is the primary motivator for individuals in how they will go about their work, how much they will put themselves into their work. But many, many years or decades even really of research tells us that's not true, but we continue to try to evaluate people and reward them within those ways. So those are some of the things that really, in very deep ways, become challenges in trying to change corporate culture.
Okay. John, at the Shingo conference last October, I wrote down a quote that you said there, and I'd like you to talk about it a little bit.
I hope I still agree with what I said.
We'll see. And hopefully I got it right.
I'm sure you did.
It wasn't in print. It's easier to act your way to new thinking than to think your way to new action.
Well, I did say that, and I think that's an important piece of the philosophy. And in fact, it's something that I learned at NUMMI.
I think it's brilliant, John.
Well, when I went off to Japan in a long time ago, and landed at Toyota in 1983, I was still very much looking for kind of a new way of thinking, cultural answers to things. Mm-hmm. But what we really found that worked to change the culture there at NUMMI, because we changed that culture in 1 year. These were the exact same horrible workers. I say horrible workers. They were supposedly horrible workers. They weren't at all once we mm-hmm. got in and started working with them. But that culture totally changed around. And we didn't do that just by talking about it and thinking about it and sitting down and holding hands. We put in systems and processes, gave people tools and training that would work to help them be successful, and we spent hours and hours and days making sure that we were all on the same page. We had a shared vision of where we were going. And then we backed that up with our actions. So I think it's the acting that can allow us then to have the way we think about things change. Mm-hmm. So many of us want to change in many ways, even as individuals. And it's when you get to the action level, I think that it's easier to affect our thinking than it is the other way around.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, John. When you first visit a client company, what cultural components do you look for?
Well, you know, I think one of the nice challenges and fun things about the work that some of us do, visiting a lot of companies, is we have to kind of train ourselves or to think on and to observe on different levels. And I think the most important one really has to begin with actually the work, because the culture will be embedded in the work that people do. So it's not a matter of listening to any number of presentations about the corporate philosophy and what kind of culture we want to have. Those kinds of discussions are usually aspirational in nature. Where you see the real culture is when you go see the work. So I love to just go observe and watch people do their work and see, first of all, do people know how to do their jobs? Do they know actually what success is? And do they know in the face of that when something goes wrong, when something is going to get in the way of them being successful every time they do their job? And when they encounter that, when they see that, do they know what to do when something goes wrong? And then how does the organization respond? I think those things will tell us more about the culture than anything else. And you can see that kind of work taking place whether it's in the factory or whether it's in the office, whether it's some kind of a service activity, anywhere where people are actually doing their work.
John, so you've written a book that will come out later this summer titled Managing to Learn. Could you tell us about that?
Well, thanks for bringing it up. I definitely didn't want to talk to you today just to advertise something. I'm the world's worst salesman. But I have been working on a book, and it's called Managing to Learn. It's going to be published by the Lean Enterprise Institute this summer. And what it tries to do is at least make a little progress regarding the one of the problems I mentioned earlier, that there's widespread acceptance now that command and control is bad or it doesn't work. But what's the alternative? Mm-hmm. You can't have 100,000 or 10,000 or even 100 people just doing what they want when. And most of the solutions that are offered up are pretty vague and fuzzy. The things are revolving around trust and just make sure people are aligned and they will start to do the right thing. What I try to do with this book is capture a little bit of what I learned of how that works at Toyota, because I believe, in fact, that it's Toyota's solution, Toyota's solving of this basic dilemma that organizations have between control and flexibility, between direction and autonomy. What this book tries to do is show the mentoring that takes place between two individuals. To describe the overall system might require a broader look. What this tries to do is basically show a mentor and a mentee. The entire book is a dialogue between two people as they work through a project together. Mm-hmm. So the mentor on one side of the page and the mentee on the other, and we can see the thinking of both of them as they go through this. Hopefully it could help people, the readers, a little bit, in that if we recognize that our job as leaders is to develop the people who work for us, develop the people, our subordinates, mm-hmm. If I recognize that my job is to develop you, then I need to hear your thinking. The answer to command and control is not just laissez-faire. It's not just management by walking around. It's not just MBO, management by objectives, where we agree on a numerical objective, and if you get your numbers, then good for you, and if you don't get your numbers, then bad for you. Mm-hmm. I need to recognize that I need to hear your thinking in order for me to do my job, which is to develop you. To develop you through coaching you on the job. So what I'll do in that case, I'm going to give you clear and challenging expectations. I'm going to give you a deadline. I'm going to follow up. I'm going to ask what you need. I'll see what you need with my own eyes and provide ongoing support and coaching as needed. I think if we can do those things effectively, we truly can make this old dilemma of command and control versus chaos melt away. And I think that's the thing that Toyota has really managed to accomplish in their management system that hasn't been fully discussed and can really play a big role in both the operating and cultural changes that people want.
No, I don't believe there's anything that addresses this, and thank you for doing it. I can't wait till it comes out.
Well, thanks for bringing it up. I'll make sure you get one of the first copies.
Okay. John Shook, thank you so much. Thank you for your patience, and thank you for all your wisdom, and we appreciate it. Perhaps in the future we can do this again.
I hope so, Dwight. It's always fun talking to you. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. We are interested in your comments and ideas for future competing podcasts. Please go to leanthinkingnetwork.com.